hello there. Thank you for joining me today. I have kind of a funny clip for you today. What is funny about what's going on, you ask? Well, not much, but we got to get our laughs where we can, right? Sometimes when people tell absurdly crazy lies, it can be funny. This clip tells a story of how the USA doesn't really have a nuclear weapons program. This is just about stealing tax dollars. I've been saying this part is fake. They needed to get the nuclear they're using now in our homes with smart meters. They can't just come up and say, well, we're going to develop some plutonium because one day soon we're going to zap all the people in this country. Yeah, we're going to do it through their smart meters. We're going to inject plutonium in them. And yeah, a lot of them will give them lung cancer, will give them heart attacks. Hey, this is cool. Let's get going. We got all these USA homes to fill with nuclear. It was all fake. I've been saying it all along. They couldn't just come out and say, well, we're going to kill all of you with this nuclear, so fund it for us. No, they had to come up with an explanation, right? So just yesterday or so, I read this article. It said, Pentagon speeding up work. Excuse me. Pentagon speeding up work on first nuclear warhead in 40 years. Gee, you kind of think if you're so worried about something, you would have been on top of it before now, right? Well, let's take a look. The United States was the first country to manufacture nuclear weapons, or so they say, and is the only country to have used them in combat, or so they say, with the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Before and during the Cold War, it conducted 1,054 nuclear tests and tested many long-range nuclear weapon delivery systems. So today we're talking about long-range nuclear weapons. And they have a few locations in this in the United States. I'm close to one of them. I'm in Nebraska. Between 1940 and 1996, the U.S. federal government spent at least $11.3 trillion in present-day terms on nuclear weapons, including platform developments, aircraft, rockets, and facilities. It is estimated that the United States produced more than 70,000 nuclear warheads since 1945. More than any other nuclear weapon states combined. Up until November 1962, the vast majority of U.S. nuclear tests were above ground. After the acceptance of the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, all testing was relegated underground in order to prevent the dispersion of nuclear fallout. In 1998, at least $759 million had been paid to Marshall Islanders in compensation for their exposure to U.S. nuclear testing. Well, I think I told you about this $759 million. What happened was that, yes, they did get money. And last I checked, there was about $50 million left of the $759 million. And under the Trump administration, boom, all that money went away. So the Marshall Islanders did not get fair compensation. Yes, they got some compensation. But what was their holding was actually stolen by the U.S. government. So they did not receive all of the compensation. So, the United States is building the first nuclear warhead in 40 years. The W-93 warhead will be used on submarine-launched ballistic missiles and is being built with $19.8 billion requested by the National Nuclear Security Agency. The W-93 has been in an early phase of feasibility and design at Los Alamos National Laboratory since May 22 and is on track for production beginning in the mid-30s. So, nuclear force modernization is the Pentagon's top priority. And so they're getting back to it after 40 years with the Navy's nuclear missile submarines are considered the linchpin of U.S. strategic nuclear forces, which also include ICBMs and bombers. NNSA stated on its website that the W-93 will allow the U.S. to keep pace with future adversary threats. All nuclear components will be based on currently deployed and previously tested nuclear designs. The W-93 will include modern technologies such as insensitive high explosives used for triggering. Other new features will include improved safety, security, and flexibility to address future threats. The department is also modernizing five warhead types. The warheads under a funding request for $2.84 billion. The Biden administration, however, failed to request funds for the new submarine launch cruise missile nuclear, known as the SLCM-N, in the current budget. The two officials stated they blamed the timing on last year's defense authorization enactment. So I guess the fake submarines are out for now. I don't think those submarines are real. They also have a lot of problematic things if you want to look further. I mean, submarines run by nuclear underwater, a lot of problems. Okay, so they went on to say that plutonium pits for the warhead will be produced at Savannah River National Laboratory in South Carolina. Heads up, South Carolina. So, Admiral Richard, who retired in January 2023, was the first nuclear forces commander to sound the alarm on what he termed China's nuclear breakout. China has doubled its nuclear warhead stockpile and has begun deploying multi-warhead intercontinental ballistic missiles at three large missile fields in western China. These fields could include up to 360 missiles, military officials have said. The warhead, which was requested by Admiral Charles Richard in late 2020 when he was commander of the Omaha-based Strategic Command, will be being built with the assistance from the British government, which also will be deploying the weapon. See, it's funny how us and the Brits are always doing it. Top of the morning to you, my British friends. Admiral Richard, who retired in January 2023, was the first nuclear forces commander to sound the alarm. Well, and then I'm going to be playing this clip now. Keep in mind, I talked about it so long ago, maybe you've forgotten. Do you realize that airplanes do not use fuel? Anything that has escalating costs like fuel and stuff, keep your eyes on these people. Fuel costs, real estate costs, all the things that they could right now, automobile costs, anything that they can move the prices rapidly up and down, they will do. And so, what they do, they claim that with the airlines, that when the fuel goes up, our ticket prices go up also. Well, the catcher is this. Commercial airlines do not use fuel. They are, in fact, airlines or airplanes are one of the old technologies that came from our existing where we were before. So they didn't invent airplanes. The airplane technology was passed down to them. It's using old technology. I have a clip about it somewhere, but basically, if you question what I'm saying and you don't want to wait for me to come back with the answers, well, take a look yourself. Go pull up a picture of a commercial airline jet and then look at all the compartments in that jet. And then you explain to me where exactly does all that fuel go? It doesn't go anywhere. It has to do with the intake. They've used old technology on the intake. So, yes, they don't need fuel. All of this is one massive, massive trick. And this nuclear trick is their biggest trick and the most misdirected, right? Because we in the public seem to think that all this nuclear is, in fact, for all these weapons, right? All of this money coming into this new project to get these new warheads and stuff. This is how it works. They request all this money because the goal is to steal all this money from the taxpayers, just like space is nothing but a taxpayer-funded spending spree for these people. So the fact that they haven't used, oh, I got to scroll back up here. The fact that they haven't used any of this stuff, and you will see in this clip, because luckily John Oliver covered this a while back. So luckily I had a clip to show you how absurd this whole thing is. Because let me see here. They were, this installment, you'll listen to this clip yourself, but this installment that they're trying to upgrade, okay, they are using floppy disks that were 8 inches. So they were using 8-inch floppy disks, quite outdated technology. Floppies from 8 inches were used in 1971 to 1975. So what I can say about this is that gives us a pretty good date when you're listening to this because floppy disks are from the 70s. So you tell me why they have spent 11.3 trillion in present day money on nuclear weapons when they're just getting this stuff to actually use it for our smart meters. But it's a pretty good cover trick because most people would consider you insane if you tried to explain this to them. But that's where the big lie comes in, right? That big lie. Most people cannot understand the big lie. It's too big. It's too complicated. And even if you try to break it down, their mind won't go beyond the first part because this lie is so huge. And that is why they've been able to pull it off because it's such a big lie that most people would scratch their heads and think, why would somebody do all this? Well, that's because there is a basic lack of understanding about how psychopaths operate is the problem. So be safe out there, and I will chat with you later.
Moving on, moving on. Our main story tonight is the threat of nuclear annihilation. It's probably been a while since you thought about it, but there was a time when people lived in almost constant fear. Children used to be shown this in schools.
Sundays, holidays, vacation time. We must be ready every day, all the time, to do the right thing if the atomic bomb explodes. Duck and cover.
I'll say this for the 1950s. They had the perfect blend of optimism and pessimism. The death blast is coming, but we'll survive it if we all get under this picnic blanket. Now, by the 1980s, attitudes had changed. The TV movie The Day After had a slightly different tone. See if you can spot it.
Danny!
The worst thing is, Danny would have been fine if he just had a picnic blanket with him. What were you thinking, you little fool? The strange thing is, all of that seems so dated. Nowadays, we spend less time worrying about nuclear annihilation than we do worrying about whether we accidentally hit reply all on an office email. Oh, shit, did I send that to Dave? I said his face looks like a ferret. But maybe we should be worrying about nuclear warheads a bit more. And not the ones in North Korea, Iran, or Russia, but the ones we have here at home. America has around 4,800 nuclear warheads, which is more than enough, not just to destroy Earth, but to provide 4th of July fireworks for Martians. Some of our most powerful weapons are intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, which is both an acronym and what you would say if you saw one coming at you. That's a little joke for all you gastroenterologists out there. They are currently in silos in Wyoming, Montana, and North Dakota. And let's start with Wyoming. How well are we taking care of these things?
Take this enormous outer door designed to protect the corridor leading to the capsule. They can't close it because of a broken part, so it's propped open with a crowbar and marked with a danger tag.
Okay. To be honest, repairs like that are less appropriate in a nuclear silo than they are in a divorced dad's condo. Why does the fridge open with string, Daddy? And for the record, it's not just their hardware that needs updating, it's their software too.
The equipment is ancient. This, for example, is one of the computers that would receive a launch order from the president. It uses floppy disks, the really old, big ones.
Holy shit! Those things barely look powerful enough to run Oregon Trail. Much less earth-ending weaponry. People who work there must watch war games and go, one day we'll get to play with that stuff. Look, fingers crossed things are a little better in North Dakota.
17 Air Force officers are being relieved of their duties controlling nuclear missiles.
An inspection in March tested the group's missile launch proficiency. They were rated as marginal, the equivalent of earning a D grade, barely passing.
That's not great. I do really think when it comes to safeguarding the deadliest objects ever known to mankind, we should really insist on something more in a solid B+, C- range. Okay, finally, let's look at Montana. The good news, their officers have not had D grades. The bad news is why.
34 U.S. Air Force nuclear launch officers have been stripped of their certification.
4 months ago, a launch officer at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana allegedly texted the answers to a monthly proficiency test to other officers at the base.
They texted the answers? Those answers should not be textable. You should not be able to answer, how do you prevent the launch of a Minuteman III with emojis? It has to be more complicated than that. But okay, look, let's not overreact. You know, not everyone is good at tests. How are the people in North Dakota and Montana working in the field?
Picture this, 4 Air Force officers who hold the launch keys to nuclear missiles, leaving open the blast door that's supposed to prevent terrorists from entering the capsule. This while another slept inside, which is allowed only if the door is closed. And who discovered this? In one case, it was a maintenance team. In another case, it was discovered by someone delivering food.
And once again, America is saved from destruction by the heroes in Meal Team 6. And in case you think it's just low-level, unmotivated officers who are dropping the ball here, let's meet two of the top people who've been in charge of our most powerful missiles. First up, Major General Michael Carey. He was relieved of command last October for spectacular reasons.
According to an Air Force Inspector General's report, on a recent trip to Russia, Air Force General Michael Carey was often intoxicated, rude, and spent a lot of time with foreign women.
He often interrupted presentations. He often interrupted translators with annoying comments when he gave toasts, and that really irritated the Russians.
Just think about that. The man overseeing our ICBMs was too drunk for the Russians. For the Russians! And CNN barely skimmed the surface of this story. The Inspector General's report reads like Ron Burgundy goes to Russia. Apparently, General Carey at one point tried to fist bump a confused Russian tour guide, then dragged his staff to a restaurant called La Cantina because he, and I quote, really wanted to see this Beatles cover band, prompting one staffer to observe, I wouldn't pick a Mexican place to go in Russia, but all right, if that's where he wants to go, we'll go there. And even once he was there, it wasn't over, because he again, I quote, was really intent on singing with the band, and he said, go ask them if I can play guitar. Which led to the immortal sentence, I told the general that basically, you know, that he can't play the guitars. Take a moment to consider the run of poor decisions that are required before you're being told you can't play guitar with a Beatles cover band when you're drunk at a Mexican restaurant in Russia. Just add all that up together, and they consider this man had access to our deadliest nuclear warheads. And in case that doesn't scare you enough, until recently, one of the men overseeing all the people we've met so far was Vice Admiral Tim Giardina. The president relieved him of his command last year for an even weirder reason.
Admiral Timothy Giardina's undoing began with a local criminal investigation in Iowa, where he was spotted on surveillance cameras using counterfeit poker chips at the Horseshoe Casino in Council Bluffs.
Okay, I'm sorry, but a vice admiral has to have the mental fortitude to fool an Iowa pit boss. You have to. You have to. And also, this means, let's recap, that within the last 12 months, we were in a situation where, in the event of us launching a nuclear strike, the president's command would theoretically have gone through a man gambling with fake poker chips, who would have then tried to call a drunk guy wrestling with a Russian George Harrison, who would have then needed to send someone with a bag full of burritos to wake up an officer and tell him to go grab an LP-sized floppy disk and begin the solemn process of ending the world as we know it. And if you're thinking, well, it looks like we were lucky nothing terrible has happened, we're actually even luckier than you think. Over the years, America has had some pretty terrifying almost-geddons.
The Goldsboro incident of 1961. That's when a U.S. B-52 bomber jet broke in half during a flight and lost its load. Two nuclear bombs. Where was it flying at the time? Over the city of Goldsboro, North Carolina. Both bombs plummeted to the ground. One was nearly armed, set to explode, but miraculously, neither did.
Yep. You dropped an armed nuclear bomb on your own country. And it is frankly amazing that you don't talk about that more often. There is genuinely a weirdly restrained sign marking the event, calling it a nuclear mishap, when it clearly should really say, holy fuck, you have no idea what nearly happened here. And I know you're probably thinking, OK, all right, we nearly blew up one of the Carolinas, but that's basically why we have two. But in that case, how about that one time we risked blowing up Arkansas?
Someone dropped a socket in the silo, and the socket fell about 70 feet, pierced the missile, caused a fuel leak, and then there was a huge explosion.
Just think about the system we have designed. In the rock, paper, scissors logic, socket beats nuclear missile. And if that feels too much like ancient history to you, here is something from as recently as 2007.
Six nuclear-tipped cruise missiles were loaded onto a B-52 by mistake, flown across the country, and left unguarded on the tarmac. No one noticed for 36 hours.
And that must have been a hell of a moment when they realized, hey, guys, those things that have been out there for a day and a half, there is no way that those are nuclear shit! It seems clear. At this point, we have too many nuclear weapons to take care of them properly. So, why aren't we reducing them? Well, we were, to be fair. Since 1988, we got rid of more than 18,000 warheads. But recently, things have slowed down a lot. President Obama has reduced our arsenal by just 309, which is crazy. At a time of budgetary cutbacks, we are spending $355 billion over the next decade on something we don't need. And don't take that from me. Take it from someone who actually knows something about this.
The one thing I convinced myself of after all these years of exposure to the use of nuclear weapons is that they were useless.
Yeah. Nuclear weapons are basically like Americans' T-Rex arms. They're essentially useless, and you are plenty scary enough without them. When you have 4,800 of something you don't need, you are a fucking hoarder at that point. It's like having 4,800 cats. Sure, each one might have made sense when you got it, But it all happened so gradually, you didn't really notice that things had gotten out of hand. And now you have too many of these agents of chaos and destruction, and one of these days, one of them might kill you. The problem is, there are two key things stopping us from reducing our nuclear weapons. The first is politics, because there are lawmakers from both parties who have missile silos in their states. And they will fight any attempt to close them, no matter how much sense that makes. And they'll fight it with ironclad logic like this.
We know that maintaining our current silos is the best interest, and in the best interest, of taxpayers, because rebuilding them would be very expensive.
Okay, let me get that straight. You are spending money on something you don't need in the hopes that you'll be saving money on the off chance one day you eventually do need. What exactly are you saying there? That's desperate. That's like saying, I have to hold onto my storage facility full of Aquaman action figures on the off chance that my future wife really likes them. She will not. She will not. She will not want those things. You don't need them. The man there, that's Steve Daines, and the House was discussing a bill that guaranteed that silos would be kept open until at least 2021. He was trying to attach an amendment removing the end date altogether, essentially meaning no matter what the Pentagon wanted, the silos would have to be kept open forever. It was clearly a ridiculous amendment. Let's now watch it pass.
On this vote, the yeas are 222, the nays are 196. The amendment is adopted.
That is some weapons-grade bullshit. Now, the Senate could still make big changes to that bill, but for that to happen, people would need to care. And that brings us to the main reason why so little is being done to reduce our number of nuclear warheads. Deep down, people just don't give enough of a shit anymore. In the 1980s, hundreds of thousands of people pushed for disarmament in Central Park. But in May of this year, this is what a House hearing on nuclear security looked like.
We should point out probably one of the few hearings in which actually the attendance of the subcommittee compares very favorably with the attendance in the audience, because the public has not tuned into these issues as they should.
Sky.